The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
How are you this afternoon, Rolien Marx?
It's the end of a long week here in Israel. I'm good, thank you, and yourself?
I was thinking the exact same thing. It is Thursday, and I got to tell you, between you and me and no one else, I'm very glad it is.
As many of you know, our work week in Israel is Sunday to Thursday. So for us, the weekend starts around about in 10 minutes time.
Oh, now you're just showing off.
At least for me.
All right, Ro, let's talk Israeli news. Are we starting with the apparent alleged Mossad assassination of Fakhrizadeh?
Let's talk about that. This is fascinating. In a expose in the London Jewish Chronicle, they have written about how Israeli agents working with Iranian agents. So, you know, I have my theories on that. So they've written their report saying that according to sources within the Mossad, more than 20 agents, including Israeli and Iranian nationals, carried out the assassination, which was an ambush on Mohsen Farajideh, that he was a scientist. He was one of the masterminds of the Iranian nuclear program. They had apparently surveilled him for about 8 months, and after managing to smuggle in a one-ton gun, they ambushed him, and he died a little later, or a few moments later, in hospital. Very, very interesting, because when it comes to these type of issues, Israel does not comment. We don't confirm or deny.
Interesting. And also reporting that they smuggled in a 1.5-ton gun or something. I mean, my goodness me, they didn't exactly take him out with a small bit of ammo.
Well, this is it. It's quite fascinating. And I've been having my debates with people in the security industry today, whether this should have been made public, possibilities, why it could have been made public. You know, we also can't forget that when we do have these kinds of showdowns with countries that are enemy entities, there's also an element of psychological warfare going on. Maybe this is a little bit of psyops, you know, who's to tell? But really, really interesting that this has been made public.
Let's move to the next topic, which is apparently the Knesset hearing calling on social media platforms to take more responsibility for online anti-Semitism. My goodness me, what an important issue that is.
It is an important issue, and it also raises an interesting debate. Now, anyone who's active on social media, and in particular Facebook, would have noticed that since the election in the United States, which were very, very contentious, very polarized, people had very, very strong opinions on both sides of the track. You know, we've also seen a rise in another phenomenon, which is this new woke culture, and many are saying it's the most fascist form of liberalism you could imagine, because unless you subscribe to a certain agenda, you are basically marginalized. Very, very interesting, the debates going on around there. Coupled with that is that Facebook in the last couple of weeks have really clamped down on the exposure and the coverage that any organization, any page, any group that's deemed to be even slightly political gets. I know that a lot of organizations that I work with are complaining that their exposure is down by massive percentages. However, it seems that hate speech in terms of anti-Semitism is still running rampant. So yesterday the Knesset held a hearing in their special committee. I mean, it's a Jewish Knesset, so of course there's a million committees. In the Immigration and Absorption and Diaspora Affairs Committee, which is chaired by Michal Kotler-Wunsch. She also happens to be the daughter of Erwin Kotler, who's the anti-Semitism, and you know I hate the word czar. I mean, I can't think of any conflict or any irony in saying anti-Semitism czar. I mean, it just makes absolutely
true.
It just makes absolutely
I mean, really.
makes
it makes we'll have a Reichsführer anti-Semitism person. I mean, it's insane terminology.
Exactly. So, I mean, talk about contradictions. Well, anyway, she heads up this committee, and yesterday the Ministry of Strategic Affairs and Diaspora Affairs, they presented the committee with their outline for a national response to hate speech online. And what they're basically doing is calling on these social media platforms to, if they don't adopt IRA, which is the working definition of anti-Semitism introduced by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, if they don't adopt that, then to at least use it as a guideline. And, you know, it's bringing up interesting discussions. I know you and I chatted a couple of weeks ago about the email from Facebook that leaked and discussed that, you know, maybe the word Zionism and issues around Zionism were going to be policed a little stronger. And, you know, here we have the issue of, you know, where does freedom of speech and shutting down the freedom of speech become, you know, hate speech? You know, where is that line between freedom of speech and hate speech? So it's definitely opening up a fascinating debate. But one thing is for certain is that we cannot have the rampant anti-Semitism that is on social media. I mean, it's one thing to say to somebody, and I get it a lot. I'm sure you've experienced it. I know Howard experienced it a lot. When there's a big difference between somebody saying, you know, I disagree with the occupation, which is a word that many use, or I disagree with Netanyahu's policy on that, or, you know, I'm not a fan of Netanyahu. There's a big difference between that and saying, well, what a pity the rocket didn't hit you because you're still alive. You know, it's that kind of thing. And here I have to be very clear that the IRA definition allows for criticism of Israeli policy. But what it does say is that anti-Zionism, where you are denying Jewish people the right to peoplehood, to their national liberation movement, to a country, and you're calling into question the existence of that country, that is anti-Semitism.
Yeah, it's just so fascinating because while all this is happening, still in the University of Irvine, the student movements taking very, very bold anti-Israel resolutions on their campuses, and there's a war to be fought, Rolene.
There's a very definite war to be fought, but we also have to think strategically and we have to be clever. We can't respond to things that are legitimate criticism of Israeli policy as anti-Semitism, because that waters down issues when there is very, very much extreme anti-Semitism, and the policy adopted or the resolution adopted on UC Irvine, that is a clear case of that. Saying that you don't want to, and I use this as an example, Natalie Portman didn't want to accept the Genesis Prize because she doesn't like Netanyahu. And social media or J Twitter went crazy saying Natalie Portman is a self-hating Jew. No, she's not. She's saying she just doesn't like the man, which is her right, and she can exercise that at the ballot box. If she said, I would not accept a prize from the illegitimate state of Israel, or
sure,
called
different story.
Netanyahu a war criminal, or said he has no right to be the prime minister, then we are wading into different territory. So I think we activists, we people who respond online also have to be very, very smart and precise and surgical when we deal with these issues.
Well, I want to move in the remaining time over to the COVID issue, but I want to put something to you. You were doing so supremely well. You were leading the world. You made peace with the UAE. Our new friends in the UAE, they've overtaken Israel in vaccinations. And the word coming out of Israel is vaccination stagnation. What's going on?
Okay, I didn't hear the last question because they overtook us. You know what? Israel got off to a magnificent start. We galloped out the gate. We still have vaccinated over a quarter of our population. But you also have to look at, we're a different case to the UAE. You know, it's We have elements of society that don't want to get vaccinated. Now we have a note from the health ministry to say we've opened up vaccines to kids from the age of 12 to 15 who have preconditions or are at risk in some way. You know, it's not a criticism of Israel. You can't, first of all, you can't lead in this sphere forever. And the vaccine rollout is not the only area where we're leading. We're also leading in terms of the research and the evidence that's coming out of our vaccine program. What I do find interesting is that the signatories of the Abraham Accords are the leading countries. That is fascinating. You know, we're in a process now where we're getting to those younger age groups. We're getting to those communities that are perhaps a little bit more skeptical. And the health ministry has issued a warning that you will not be allowed into cafes and gyms and malls unless you are vaccinated. And hopefully we get the rest getting their jabbies. But, you know, I don't see it as a criticism or a failure, or you are doing so well and now you aren't. You know, everybody gets to that stage where you plateau, and perhaps that's where it is. But, you know, we still are leading in many other aspects.
And that's where we leave it, Rolene Mark.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.